My wonderful Lord, thank you that you're here with us. Thank you that you're living on the inside of us. And you have so many wonderful things that you want us to know and to discover. You want us to know that you love us like you love Jesus. You want us to know the many, many benefits that you have laid away for us. You want us to know, Lord, what our mission in life is. And I pray today that each ear would be a listening and a comprehending ear, in each heart, a receptive heart. And we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your goodness. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord, for being our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Wow. Might ought to say that again. Praise the Lord, everybody. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 King of kings, Lord of lords, we worship you. We thank you today, my God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can be seated. God bless you. Again, we honor our pastor and first lady in their absence and trust that they are being rested and refreshed and ready to come back to the duties here, caring for you, this wonderful congregation. I must add today, we sorrow and mourn with the loss of our brother here in this congregation and his wife who is here with us. Admirable. To come on to the house of the Lord, amen, and to enter into fellowship with all of us. Thank the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I would like to share with you some undiluted word of God. Would that be all right? And we will begin with the book of Psalms 103, Psalm 103. I would like to talk to you about obtaining what belongs to you, obtaining what belongs to you. Beginning with verse 1, Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise God. Praise God. Obtaining what belongs to us. It is very important. Most of us in Pentecostal circles understand, we've heard the term, well, I'm just going to go pray through. I don't think that is practiced nearly as much as it used to be, but it is still an axiom of the gospel and of a Pentecostal life. However, there's something that has to be noted, and it is this, that unless you take the word with you when you're going to pray through, you are just shedding tears in vain. You have to take the word to prayer with you. The word of the Lord contains the laws of the Spirit, the operation of the Spirit. It is the only tangible thing that we have to operate in the Spirit. The word of the Lord is in black and white for us to go into the unseen world and obtain those things that belong to us. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that much of that was taught to me at an early age. I will tell you a little example. Years ago, I was going to wax constructive and pour my parents a little patio. Couldn't have been more than 6 by 6. And so I went. Mom took me to the lumber yard, and I picked up I don't know how many sacks of sackcrete. And I got some little 1x4s, some little stakes, and I got out there and built me a form. I didn't have a square, but I kind of eyeballed it and looked at it till I thought it looked kind of square to the house, and it was out under a tree in the backyard. And so our wonderful neighbor came over, and he hands in his pockets, and he could build a house or do anything. He said, "Craig, what are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm going to build a patio." And he said, "Well, where's your wire? Where's your chicken wire? Where's something to put into the cement?" And I said, "Oh, I don't need that." I said, "This will harden up, and it'll be just fine." And all of you that have built anything are smiling now at my ignorance at a young teenage time in my life. But I knew best, and I went ahead and poured that. And, man, I love to see how those guys move the board across the surface, you know, and make it nice and smooth. And I did that and let it set up a few days. Then we had a big old concrete patio furniture that we moved up on top of that. It just wasn't but just a few weeks until I went out there and I noticed there was a little crumbling around the edges of my patio. And I thought, my goodness, doesn't concrete get hard these days? And then I reflected back on what my friend, our neighbor, had told me. I thought, maybe he's got something there. And that is what the word of the Lord is to your prayer. If you will put the word in the center of your prayer, whatever you're asking for, find it in the Word and put it in the center of your prayer. And stay there with it. It will last and last and last. Sometimes we feel that I'm just not stirred to pray for that or to believe for this, that, or the other. One great man of God said this: "If the Spirit doesn't stir me, I stir it." You and I have to learn those things. This spiritual Pentecostal walk, this walk in the Holy Ghost, is a mutual thing. It is between heaven and us. It is between the Holy Ghost and us. And the Holy Ghost likes to be stirred just like we like for the Holy Ghost to stir us. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. I remember years ago when I tried to be as fast as I have been in the other service. I think I've gone over 30 minutes in the other service that I've been here with you. I cannot promise that today because I must get this out. Praise God. Amen. I remember years ago I'd received the Holy Ghost, I like to say, at age 9 by accident. I spoke with other tongues, but then I went through a dry place for the next several years. I didn't understand how I yielded to the Spirit when I initially received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And what made it even harder was our pastor was very fluent in tongues and prayed often in tongues, and I would hear that. And then I would hear my mother in the front room of the house all wrapped up in her big afghan with a big box of Kleenex, and she would be in there praying by the hour in the Spirit with other tongues. And then I would kneel by my father in prayer meetings, and I'd hear him not only speaking other tongues, but sometimes singing in other tongues. And I'm saying, man, what is right? Am I a spiritual retard or what? How do they do that? How does that happen? And one old brother in the church, he came up to me and he said, "Well, when I got the Holy Ghost, spoke other tongues, I just law my tongue out." That, I don't know if that's in the dictionary or not, but and so I went into my bedroom at home and I shut the door very carefully, and I knelt down and I lolled my tongue out, and I didn't get anything but dry tongue. Got some water and stuck it out there again, and nothing happened. Nothing happened fast. And then I mused around the altars, and I would see how there were so many that received the Holy Ghost not because of what we were doing, but in spite of what we were doing. We were telling them to say, "Jesus, fast, fast, fast," or "Glory, glory, glory, fast, fast, fast," and shake them and move them, and sometime they'd come through. A lot of times they did, thank God. But I thought, you know, Lord, that's not in the Bible either. That kind of commotion, that's idiocy. I don't believe that has to happen for me. But I was willing. But anyway, I'd go to the church and I'd fast and wait on the Lord. I said, Lord, how does this happen? How does this take place? And all of a sudden, he began to open my understanding and say, son, that the Spirit is on the inside of you and you yield your tongue to the sounds and the syllables that are coming up from the inside of you. And I began to do that, and glory to God. Today, when I come to the place of prayer, I have to consciously make a choice whether it's going to be in English or it's going to be in the Holy Ghost. And I prefer the Holy Ghost. Praise God forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I remember another time I was at a camp meeting, youth camp or something of the sort, and this crazy country preacher came up to me and he said, I hear you're called to preach. Yes, sir, I feel called to preach. I had a large Bible case and see-through socks, so that meant that you were called to preach. Thank God. And so he said, do you have a sign gift in your ministry? And I said, man, I don't know. He said, well, you got to know it and possess it. You got to have that before you can be qualified as a gospel minister. And I thought, well, my Lord, of course, I just kept my feelings about him private, but it troubled me. You know, sometimes there are things that come to our lives that provoke us. They push us. They stir us. And we have an opportunity to go in the right direction. I said we have an opportunity to go in the right direction. So I was in a revival meeting in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I said, Lord, you know, this has troubled me. I don't have a gift, a gift of the Spirit that I know of, but I said, I've been around people that prophesied, and has anybody here ever heard someone stand up and prophesy to the church? Would you lift your hand? Come hold your hand up just for a moment. You've heard and seen that. And it's powerful, and it's according to the faith that the person has, you know. We all heard of the sister that stood up and said, yea, the Lord know your weariness. I get tired myself sometime. Amen. We know that kind of foolishness goes on at times. Praise the Lord. And so I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know what else to do. I'm talking about obtaining what belongs to you. The first thing that you have to know is, does it belong to me? Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. I said, you have to know that it belongs to you. Before you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you have to know that gift is for you. Praise the Lord. Before you can operate in any dimension of the Spirit, you have to know that that is available to you. And the book of 1 Corinthians details it so wonderfully there. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14. And so I got the word of the Lord out that afternoon in my hotel room, and I said, Lord, I see here that you said covet to prophesy. That's a good enough word from the Lord. I didn't wait for an angel. I didn't wait for a feeling. I didn't wait for a rustling in the curtains. I didn't wait for a dream. I didn't wait for a vision. I had his word on it. Amen. So I knelt down by the bed and I said, Lord, now I'm going to wait on you here until you teach me how to operate this gift, this simple gift of prophecy. I want to edify the church. I want to edify people. I want to build people up. You understand from the Bible that that's what prophecy is for. Praise the Lord. And so I knelt there an hour and I had the word open to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14. And I waited there upon the Lord. I might have said hallelujah a half a dozen times all afternoon. I waited 1 o'clock, knelt about 12. I knelt there until it was nearly church time. I thought, well, I need to get dressed for church. But I said, Lord, I'll never speak to another living soul until you manifest to me, through me, and teach me how this operates. Well, that might have been a little drastic, but folks, when you get in a corner and you see something in the Word of God that belongs to you, you will rise up, something will rise up within you to take hold of that that has been denied you or that you have not received. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And so 6 o'clock came, I showered, got ready for church, got to church. Different saints, of course, were greeting me, handshakes, hello, howdy, praise the Lord. And I just like that. But something was building on the inside of me. I said something was building on the inside of me. Glory to God. You can't fellowship the precious presence of the Lord and something not happen on the inside of you. And when it happens on the inside of you, it is destined to change the outside of you. It is destined to change the world around you. Glory. And so the nearer time it came for me to speak in the service, I felt as if I was going to explode. And the pastor turned to me, and the first words out of my mouth when I stood in that pulpit were a prophetic edification to that local assembly. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, you can obtain the things that belong to you. The scripture that we just read, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He wants us to remind ourselves of the benefits that he has purchased for us that belong to us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I also remember, and you'll pardon these personal testimonies, but I think it's best if you hear from somebody that's done it. Amen? Somebody that's passed through that matrix of believing God unto the manifestation. A particular pastor called me from the Northeast, and he said, I have been made aware of you, and I know your love for the Northeast of the United States, everything just about from New York all the way up to the tip of Maine. I love the coastline there. I love the atmosphere. I just like it, just naturally like it. And he said, just outside of Boston, there is a church that needs a pastor. And he said, I am over it. And if you want to pastor there and would come, then just please let me know. I said, well, you'll have to give me some time to pray about it. And inwardly, I was just doing handsprings. I was just jumping up and down. Oh, glory to God. What a boon. What a wonderful thing this would be for me. But something sunk within me, because I know my wife loves our hometown, our family, and all of that. And she's faithfully gone with me most of the years of our travels. But anyway, I had a deadline. He gave me a deadline. I have to hear by this time here. We have to move on. I went to a fellow pastor's home. He was bivocational, and he was going to do some work on my car for me. And I went to his house, and he said, I'm going to be busy with this. Do whatever you need to do. And I said, could I go in your spare bedroom? I need to pray. He said, well, sure, go in there. So I went in there and turned the ceiling fan on and laid down on the floor, face down in the carpet. And I did every kind of praying that I knew how to do. I prayed in tongues. I prayed the word of God. I tried to convince the Lord that, Lord, you know, you'd be amazed at what I could do there if you just let me go. Praise God. And I sang songs of, you know, send the light. Oh, praise the Lord. The glorious gospel. At the end of the hour, I got up. I went out to check on him, see if he needed anything. No, I said, I'm going to go back. He said, help yourself. So I went back, put my nose back down in the carpet, and I began to pray. And I prayed with all kinds of prayer, thanksgiving, worship, intercession, every kind of prayer that I knew to pray, I prayed it in that bedroom on my face before the Lord. And I got up, and I knew that it was lunchtime, and I said, come on, let me take you to lunch. So we went to lunch and came back. He said, I got about an hour left on this car, and if you'll allow me that time. I said, sure, may I go back in the bedroom? Yes, you surely can. I went back in there, and I did it all over again. You see, what would keep me going back? Well, I knew that the Lord wants me to know his will. And And he has given me the Holy Ghost to direct me into his will. Glory to God. So I prayed for that third hour. And I got up. I still didn't have what I wanted. And went out and settled up with him and got in the car, said my goodbyes to him, and started home. 15 minutes into my trip toward home. The minute I got back in the car, I began to pray. Oh, thank you, Lord. And I said, now, Lord, you don't think that I'm going to let this thing go this easy. Because if you say yes, I'm gone. And if you say no, then you're going to help me. In fact, I told him, I said, you're going to have to fix my wanter. Anybody have a wanter? You're going to have to repair my wanter because I don't know how to turn my wanter off. Because I want this naturally and even pseudo-spiritually. I wanted that. Thought I could do good at it. But I didn't have the peace of God that passes understanding. Somebody said if you want the peace of God, you've got to be willing to go beyond understanding. Praise the Lord. 15 minutes into that return trip home, in a millisecond, the download came into my spirit. And it wasn't what I wanted a moment before, but it was now what I wanted from him the most. And he gave me peace all the while he's telling me no. He gave me joy all the while he's telling me no. And I just rejoiced the rest of the way home because I obtained what belonged to me. Praise his name. So we've said believing begins with you believing it is yours. Then secondly and finally, I didn't say I was closing. Once you get that and believe that, then you must enter into and be ready to press and focus until you receive the inner assurance or the outward manifestation takes place. And if he gives you the inner assurance before the outer manifestation takes place, he did that to sustain you until you receive that you saw in his word belonged to you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now, a lot of times I think it throws us because we think, well, these long prayer sessions, what do you say? I had one pastor tell me, well, we gave up on prayer meeting. He said, you know, after a while, you say all you can say, and then it's over with. And come back the next day and say it all again. How many of you have ever gone into a bank to obtain some information about your accounts, and they tell you just one moment? It never will be one moment. Maybe several moments, but the fact that you are sitting there reminds them that you intend to receive what you came for. So you can come before the Lord anywhere you want and present your petition before him and worship and thank him for the answer because he said to, when you pray, believe that you receive. But then you keep a laser hot focus on that you are believing belongs to you. Well, I don't know if I'm helping anybody, but I've just about preached myself happy. Glory to God. Have you got time for one more story? I really am trying to hasten. was pastoring a church of about 100 people, and but they were people, poor people, and the income was not huge. So therefore, my income was not huge. But we paid all of our bills. That's the amazing thing when you cooperate with God. When you give your tithes and you sow where He tells you to sow, just amazing. It's miraculous. But I one day said, Lord, you know what? I'd read in your word, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And I would like for you to just give us $1,500 extra dollars this month. Now, I wasn't even bringing home $1,500 a month. And so after I prayed that, I usually would go a couple of blocks from our house to the school where I went in the first and second grade. And I walked, I had my morning walk, and I walked around that school, and every step I took, I said, thank you, Lord, for $1,500 extra dollars this month. Satan, take your hands off of my money in Jesus' name. I believe I received $1,500 extra dollars this month. And you've got to have some grit in your crawl. You got to have a no-so that will carry you through, because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of time there's not much feeling attached. Amen? Moses' hands began to get tired. He had to have Aaron and Hur to come and hold his hands up, and as long as his hands remained up, the battle was victorious for Israel. Daniel fasted for 21 days. I've never been on a fast where I felt like, you know, running a marathon. Amen. And so Daniel continued with focus until the angel came to him. Know that Satan does not want you to get what belongs to you. Because if you ever press through and get what belongs to you, he knows he's sunk. Because there's such a taste that comes with it that you'll want it the next time. What else am I missing here? Listen, when I get to the glory world, I don't want to have left anything on the table down here that belongs to me. Praise the Lord. My wife and I visited a little country, used to be a buffet. Now Corona shut that down, but they give you a little menu. They want you to circle what you want out of that. And sometime I'll put times two out beside it. Come on, because I know they have more in the kitchen. You tell by looking at me that I need more to run on. Takes more for a Cadillac than it does for a Volkswagen. Isn't that right? Amen. And so every morning I did it. Just a day or so, somebody dropped by the house and gave us a check for $200. I'd never mentioned this to my wife. I never mentioned to anyone else, just me and the Lord. And so then I went walking. I said, Lord, thank you for $1,300 this month. I praise you for the two that's come in. Now, 13. Some of us would have just stopped at the 200 and just shimmied and shout and kicked up dust and everything else, because 200 again. No, I asked for 1,500. Glory to God. And then somebody came by a little later and dropped $100 off. I said, glory to God, this is great. And then I went out and thanked him for $1,200. $1,200 came. And then somebody came by, and this is just like the Lord, and gave us $5,000. Hubba, hubba, glory to God. Amen. I said, Lord, thank you. But then he corrected me and instructed me. He said, now I want you to take out the remainder, your $1,200 out of that. I want you to give the rest of that away. Well, I was so happy about my prayer and my focus coming to pass that I cheerfully and willingly wrote checks out to give the rest of it away. I'm talking to you about obtaining what belongs to you. God wants your business to expand. God wants your health to just come into a great strength and an overwhelming strength so that they say when you're 80, boy, you look like you're about 55. Brother Cameron, I think we need the Starbucks right now. Praise God. Undeterred focus. You don't have to be saying something, but you have to maintain a focus. Maintain it with going back to the word that promises you. In fact, most of these things are not promises, they are provisions. There's a difference in a promise and a provision. You go to the grocery store, the provisions are on the shelf. And if you contract with them for what they're asking, you can walk out with the provision. I'm telling you that in the unseen world, everything that you have need of this side of glory is in the provisionary department. And if you and I will get a hold of it, be assured that it is ours, and then stay there and worship, and stand there and worship, and stay there and worship, all of a sudden there will come an assurance on the inside, or there will be just an explosive manifestation of that you have believed for. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and I am closing with this. Deuteronomy 28. I'd like for you to see something there. In this precious chapter here, you will see that it is, let's see how many verses. There are 68 verses in Deuteronomy 28. But the first 15, or the first 14, have to do with the blessing of the Lord on your life. And here's the provisions for that to happen. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And then he begins, all these blessings will come upon you. Blessed will be your basket and your store. I wish I had time to tell you about another fulfillment. But he's already playing the piano and wants us to quit. So, and I see that didn't move him to stop either. But your pastor has set the order, and we respect that. Praise God. Praise God. One last word. Don't just read the Bible to say you've read your 5 or 10 chapters for the day. Don't do that. I mean, do it if that's what you're instructed to do. But when you're in a place of need and you need provisions to come to pass in your life, read the Bible strategically. Does that make sense? In other words, read where there were victories and how those victories came. It doesn't tell us how long Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, does it? It just says they did. And there was an earthquake sent, and revival came to the jail, and they were released from their prison. Oh, glory to God. The simple fact of the matter is just do it. Forget about the clock. And keep your mind on the provision. And say, in the name of Jesus, I'll not back down from this. I'll not stop until I have the provision. The Bible said the gospel is to us, to our children, to all that are far off. We had a precious sister in our church at home whose son was in the Navy and was away from the Lord. She was very quiet. You never heard very much out of her. But when we had praise and testimony service one night, she stood up very slowly and deliberately And she said, I want to tell you all that I have laid between these pews here for my son. And the Lord has spoken to me that when he gets off of the boat, he will be reconciled to God. I was in that service when Rusty came in the back door in his sailor's uniform. And hardly before the invitation even began, Rusty hit the altar and was reconciled to his God. What a mighty God we serve. But he wants us to know today that it requires us to be involved along with him. It is confusing. Well, Lord, if you know I need this, why don't you just give it to me? He wants us to mature. One of the cruelest days in my life was when my mother asked me at the advanced age of 7 or 8 years old, son, would you like some more chicken? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, it's on the stove. What do you mean? You have fed me all these years. You have served my plate. And now you're demanding that I get up and go get it myself? It's part of growth. It's part of maturity. And he wants us to grow. Grow in grace and grow in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and pray. As many as would like to recommit to obtaining what belongs to you, would you join me quickly here at the front if that's acceptable, if you're comfortable with doing that? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My Lord Jesus, we pray for this pastor here, his wife and family. We pray for every one of these precious believers, Lord, many of whom are in dire straits today. Perhaps it's business problems and provisions there. Perhaps it's just the course of life, things that come upon them, relationships that are broken. But you are the God with whom nothing is impossible. Teach us today by your word, and let these words dwell mightily within us. Glory to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For there is a blessedness that I would pour upon you, my people, if you would step out and take hold of my word. Call for my strength and press through into that that belongs to you. And so shall your life be changed, your health spring forth speedily, and your mind be clear, and the blessings to flow in your life. Glory to the name of the Lord God. Glory to the name of the Lord God. Glory to the name of the Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for these that have gathered here and for those that remain in their seats, oh God, that do believe, that are going to press again, that are going to obtain that belongs to them. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. Let's clap our hands uproariously. Shout to God. Shout to God. Glory to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord.